verse 20. We'll pick up right in the middle and right in the heart of it, and we'll be talking about the Christian soldier this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And here are the last words, the final words of this letter by Paul to the churches in Ephesus, the church there and the other churches surrounding the region in that area of Asia Minor. And he wants to finally give us, not necessarily a PS at the end of a letter, but to summarize everything that he's said, everything leading up to this. Finally, he says, what I want you to understand, Christians, is that you are soldiers. You are soldiers in a war, in Christ's army, standing against a formidable foe. And this is how you're going to be victorious in this battle. And he lays this out for us in this text, the most important text in the Bible about spiritual warfare or the Christian soldier and his duties as a soldier of the Lord. He wants this church to see itself as an army, obeying the commands of its commander-in-chief. And an army that is victorious as it stands against the assaults and harassments of the enemy and the demonic forces is an army that's going to be well equipped. And so he lays out for us, as you can imagine him in chains, he's chained to a Roman soldier and house arrest in Rome, and he sees this Roman soldier and how his getup is and his armor is and how he's equipped, and he wants to draw the principles that he sees from this armor and draw in principles of Christian truth to the Christian as a Christian soldier. Not literal weapons, but spiritual principles for him, for the Christian, to stand victorious. A strong, victorious army is going to be well equipped. And we know of many armed forces and in conflicts in the world that were not equipped very well at all. They usually were the losing side of the battle. Whether their weapons or their boots or protective armaments, whatever it was weak, if it was insufficient, they were vulnerable, and usually the casualties were very high as a result. I remember a friend of mine, as I was on a short-term mission trip in Croatia, Cornell, he's a church planter there, and I spent some time with him. He told me about his days as a soldier in the Balkan Wars. He was enlisted at some point, of course, forcefully, for the most part, in the Croatian army. And they said, okay, you need to go out with this regiment and you need to battle the enemy forces, the opposition, and here's your equipment. And they gave him three bullets. No gun, just three bullets. Of course, someone had a gun, and hopefully those bullets matched the gun, but that was what they provided him. And of course, that was pretty ridiculous. Yet, that's all they had. You have to be well equipped to fight well, especially against a better equipped enemy. A weaponized regiment of an enemy that's stronger than you. In our case, as Christians, it may appear that way. We are against an enemy that is a stronger and more brilliant and more strategized and more scheming enemy. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to defeat us. And our only hope to stand strong against that enemy is to put on the equipment that the Lord, who is greater than he, knows we need. And that is what we have here is the spiritual armor of the Christian soldier. There's some stories of other armies, like the Red Army under Mao, the communists in China. When they first got started, they had really no guns, and so their weapons were sharp bamboo sticks. And the only battles they can do would be guerrilla warfare or retreat all the time, and then attack at night, and then retreat all the time. And so you are limited greatly if you are not equipped. The Roman army in Paul's day was the strongest and most feared army. They were well equipped. They were brilliant in the way they did their tactical attacks and their tactical preparations and their tactical protections. And the way they're able to do warfare was the reason why they were so victorious all the time. They had learned battle strategy. They learned how to properly equip their soldiers for maximum success. And so Paul knew that. And he took the best of them, and he said, this is how they're equipped. Now let me tell you how Christians are equipped by our Lord, our commander. Here's Paul drawing the reader's attention. The Lord has equipped us with the proper armament for maximum success in the Christian life and the Christian war. This is not just a walk. That's the common word that Paul has been using in this epistle, walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. And so that's just another illustration. We walk, we move, we progress, but then he turns it to Christian warfare and says, now we do battle. Here's how we fight. Here's how we stand. Here's how we put up the defensive front. Here's how we protect ourselves. We have a superior position. We have superior resources. Do you realize that, Christian? If you are defeated by the enemy in this battle, it's not because of the resources. It's not because we are ill-equipped. It's because we didn't put them on. It's our fault. Each one of us, if we fall into sin, if we're lagging behind, if we've been knocked down, if we've been defeated by the enemy, if we've fallen into sin and temptation or whatever it is, unbelief, disbelief, false teaching, anything that the enemy could throw at us, if we give way to that and are knocked down because of that, it's our own fault. We have not withstood the attack because we have not equipped ourselves with his armament. He knows what he's doing. He knows what you need. Keep that in mind. You will be defeated in the war for Jesus Christ if you do not stand victorious according to the design the Lord has given us. Now we've learned so far in the early verses here of this text, we've learned about the strength that the Lord supplies. Verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. There you have the double emphasis. Be strong there. There's strength here. There's superiority here to be on the Lord's side in his army. Put on the whole armor of God. It's his armor. It's his design. It's for you. You will be well equipped. And the reason is that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, stand against the rulers, stand against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, against the present darkness, against the forces of evil in the heavenly places, against all those attacks. Here you are, strong in the Lord. We've also learned about the enemy. Who is this enemy that is against us? The schemes of the devil. There he is. It's the devil. We learned about his strategies. We learned about his aliases. We learned about his agents. Sometimes he comes as a roaring lion. Sometimes he comes as your best friend, giving you kisses. The kisses of an enemy rather than the reproofs of a friend, the wounds of a friend. We've learned about his strategies, his arsenal, his abilities, his attacks, his harassments, his overwhelming power. We know about these things, and we've learned also that the spiritual war is an invisible one. It's a battle right here, right in the heart, right in the mind. This is where it's won or lost. It's not of the flesh, as he says. We don't wrestle. We don't struggle against flesh and blood. We struggle against something that's much more damaging and much more difficult to battle because you can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. It is of spiritual elements, and it's attacking the spiritual issues of your life. That's where the battle is done. That's where your vulnerabilities are. That's where these armors, these pieces of this armor, this whole armor, are going to protect you. That's where the battle is won. And this morning we want to come to this armor now. We're going to take a look at these pieces and put them all on and wear them so that we can enlist in the Lord's army as a Christian soldier and not be defeated so easily, not always be stumbling and knocked down, not realizing we've made no progress. We'll look at the first three installments here in verses 14 and verse 15. The next time we'll deal with the next three, and then we'll see what it means to put on that whole armor. You cannot put on only a few. Don't just come this morning, I'll just take care of the first three and worry about the others later. You can't do that because you're vulnerable somewhere else if only three of them are put on. There are six pieces of the armor that he's highlighting here that are to be worn. That's the putting on. Always having them on, always ready. Having put on these things with readiness is the idea. Constantly wearing. If we're going to have spiritual success in this spiritual battlefield, and this is a defensive stand, all of this is defensive. Some might say, well, there's some offensive elements here, but for the most part, what he's saying here is to stand, therefore. And so he's saying, you're going to stand here, and you're going to not give ground, and you're going to take up the defense, and you're not going to be pushed back. You're not going to give up that ground. You're not going to compromise that ground. This is how you're able to stand, by putting these things on, and this will keep the other armors and the other attack forces from advancing and making progress against you and against the church. So it is a defensive stand. And each has a distinct connection uniquely to the truth, Christian truth. So I'm going to focus on really a truth principle here in each one of these. And we can kind of tie them together. And there's much here, but it's really just an illustration. It's armor. It's a spiritual war. But there's a truth principle that's very applicable to you. And the first is this, the belt of truth. Therefore, he says, stand. Having fastened on the belt of truth. In other words, you've already got the belt of truth on. You're able now to stand, therefore. And the belt of truth is the first of these. This is the first to highlight them all. The truth is the starting point of anything good, anything godly, anything eternal, anything successful. Maximum success will begin right here. And if it doesn't begin here, and you don't have the truth, and you don't care for the truth, you will be an easy victim. You will never get anywhere. I don't care what other armor you put on. You have to have this first principle. You start with a Christian worldview. You start with Christian sound doctrine. You start with deep convictions in the truth. This is the first thing that must go on because it's real simple. A shallow, superficial, careless Christian, one who doesn't give much care about truth, no deep understanding of the faith or truth or Scripture, if he's shallow in this way, if he's careless in this way, that one will be an easy victim, easily routed by the assaults of the enemy. There's no way around that. He has to have the truth. If he does not have a deep conviction to these things, if he is shallow on these things, he's an easy victim. Or maybe he's not shallow. Maybe he knows all this. Maybe he gets all the truth. He's aware, yes, this is true, this is right. I understand Christian truth. I've been to church many years. I've heard it all before, so what? And he doesn't apply it. If he doesn't apply these, if he doesn't live by these things, he's the hearer, but not the doer. He comes to the mirror and he knows it all. He's seen it all in the mirror, turns away and forgets all about it because now his life reflects as if he doesn't even know anything about what he saw in that mirror of the truth of Scripture. He's a hearer, but not a doer. That person is easily routed every day, assaulted by the enemy, and he is waylaid. He is laid out, and he's knocked down. He doesn't have a chance. He is a weak point in the front lines of the church, and that's where the beachhead gets launched by the enemy in the church. So truth is very important. Let's start with this first principle. Abide in the truth, therefore. Abide in the truth, the belt of truth. You put on a belt, and all we're really saying here is to abide in it. Fasten it on. principally important feature of the soldier. This first priority is to have the truth fastened, and he wears it well. The picture here is this Roman belt. The Roman belt serves really only a few purposes. It's a place in which you can put the sheath for your sword, where you carry your armaments, where you carry things, kind of like a worker's belt. He needs that there. Otherwise, he's holding it with his hands, and his hands are taken up all the time. The belt is there, kind of holds that. But it also holds things in. It, basically, the soldier and anyone in those days wore a tunic. They didn't have pants. They didn't have a shirt and a simple belt that hold the pants up. That's not the idea. The idea here is to tighten things in. And when they had these long tunics in battle, they need to cinch up that tunic to give themselves some freedom of their legs and movement. And so the belt was one in which you could tuck things in and tie things down and hold them in. It serves a great purpose in that way. To gird up the loins is the idea. You've heard that phrase. That's a Bible phrase described right here. The belt of truth is to gird up the loins. Gird things in and tie them in so that there's nothing loose that an enemy can grab onto, or that you would trip and stumble over, or your sword would get caught up in. No, you want to tie it together. Cinching all the loose pieces together into the place so that nothing gets in the way. That's basically the idea. That's what the truth does for us. It's a spiritual principle of integrating everything together and tying it all together and keeping it in place. Everything must be brought in alignment with the truth, with the Word of God. If a Christian does not have that, he is out of sorts. Loose ends everywhere. You cannot have loose ends in your doctrine. You cannot have loose ends in your beliefs. You can't believe a whole bunch of good things about what the Bible says and then over here be denying the Trinity. That is disastrous. That's not even Christian. Everything about your life needs to be tucked into the belt of truth, integrated by the truth. So it's an integrating force here. That's the truth to the Christian. He needs that in this battle. He needs that as a Christian soldier. How so? Well, let me just tell it this way. First, by aligning everything in your life to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is critical to your life. You need to be aligned to what is sound and what is true. If it's not sound, it's got you off track. You're vulnerable now. All your thoughts, all your convictions need to be tied down to truth in the Scripture. We must have no loose tunics of unbiblical thinking, no loose pieces of uncritical thinking, undiscerning thinking. Those things will just get you in the wrong place, leading you down the wrong road, making the wrong decisions, unable to discern what's right and wrong, easy prey to false teaching and deception, and even temptation. Another way of putting it is this: the Word of God must be the lamp unto your feet and the lamp or the light unto your path. The Word of God needs to be that to your life. Same idea, said in a different way. Or as Jesus said it, I live, I eat, I drink, I breathe, what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Truth is critical. Nothing can happen unless you start right here. Truth for the Christian life. We need to study the Word of God every day, therefore, so that we have it cinched. We have it all tied together so that we're strong in it. As we meditate on the Word of God, as we memorize Scripture, those things are critical to you to keep you strong and to keep you standing, giving you the assurance you need against the lies and deceptions that are constantly thrown your way. Turn on TV. Turn it on to the Christian Broadcasting Network, and here comes the shots from the enemy. Those are not shots coming from the Lord. That's all lies, and you need the truth to protect you from that. Well, it's real simple. Turn it off. My book. Have the Word richly dwelling in your heart, Colossians says. And it's only by the truths of God's Word will the enemy be kept in check. Only by the truths of God's Word. Otherwise, he finds a way to get in. He is subtle. He's a deceiver. He's an angel of light. Remember that? He's an angel of light. What does that mean? He's coming like he's bringing truth to you, but it's actually lies. How do you know? The only way you know is if you've got the truth. And you've got the truth working in your mind and your heart, and that will prevent him from deceiving you. He comes as an angel of light. He comes as a friend. He comes as a teacher of truth, sent by the apostles from Jerusalem, as the Corinthians heard. They came with letters of commendation. They must be good. They must be true speakers. And Paul's saying, they're false apostles. Gird yourself in the truth. How is it that you're so simply led astray by these things? Remember, he said that in 2 Corinthians 11. I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. What's wrong with these people? They're not cinching their life with the truth. Something else is taking up their mind. They're not aligning these things with truth. We're not to entertain untruth and unrighteousness at any point. See, that's where the enemy attacks. He attacks you at the point of doctrine. He attacks you at the point of what you believe. If you think, oh no, I believe all this truth, I got it all figured out, that's exactly where he's going after. And the only way you're going to be sure is to take it right back to this Word of God and bring it in line with Scripture, with truth, with Christian doctrine. Learn and grow in sound doctrine. This will be your best resource in the battle. This will be the first resource. And when those who don't have it, and those who are now easy and vulnerable and picked off by the enemy, they're described this way in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, what? Tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of what? Doctrine. Every wind blowing their way back and forth, and the wind's being blown by the enemy here. By cunning, human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Instead, we are to rather speak the truth in love. Cinch it on. This is the abiding of truth that is critical to you. Without it, you'll be tricked, you'll be outwitted, you'll be twisted in your thinking. You'll be lied to, you won't know it. Without discernment, we're sitting ducks to the deception. They come as wolves in sheep's clothing. They come as deceitful workers, saying they're of Christ. They come bringing their arguments and bringing their teachings and their ungodliness. And they bring it in, and they deceive, and their teaching spreads like gangrene. So, how do you defend against that? It's the truth, that's how. It's the truth. Without it, a person is vulnerable to fall away from the faith, shipwrecked according to their faith, thrown aside, made useless. So align yourself to sound doctrine. But also, there's another element to this statement. Not just know the truth, but live it. You've got to live by it. That is, you become a person of integrity. Become a person of integrity. When he says to fasten on the belt of truth, you can say it this way, belt of truthfulness, the idea that you live by this truth. And so you need to be a person of the truth, a doer of the word. It means that not only do you know the truth, but you walk by that truth. Look at what it says here in 2 John. This is what the Apostle John loves. This is what excites him. This is what encourages him most about these believers. In 2 John, this small letter, he says to the elder, or the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. Note how many times he mentions truth here. Not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, Father, Son, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we had from the beginning, that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that we should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked words. You get the point there? This is a battle here. He's just writing to this woman and those in the church. Listen, hold to the truth, abide in the truth. Watch out, because the assault is constant. The battle is constant, and they're coming in friendly ways. And they're coming with people who have your best interest at heart. They're sincere, sincerely liars. But you walk in the truth. You live by the truth. Don't be conformed to the world. So a person of integrity is a person of purity. A person of sincerity. There's nothing compromising. There's nothing hypocritical here. He's girding himself in truthfulness. He's living by that truth. He's a doer of the word. See, the devil plans for you to live a double life. You might know the truth, and he might not have anything to do with it. He'll try to deceive you, but okay. If he can't convince you of a lie, he'll convince you to not live by the truth. And just carry on. You're good. You're fine with your sin. That's all right. He wants to be unstable. He wants to live that double life. James chapter 1 is a warning to the church and to the believer. James 1 verse 8. Verse 7 says, "For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Here's a person he wants to be watchful for. We don't want to be this double-minded type of person, living a double life. He says it again in chapter 4 in verse 8. "Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." What's this double-minded? He's unstable. He's having no solid standing. He's not solid in the foundation there. He's not single-focused on the Lord. He's fickle and vacillating, unreliable, hypocritical, living one way, saying another. He's in John Bunyan's story of one of Christian's companions or the person, Mr. Facing Both Ways. He's double-minded. He's unstable. He has no integrity. He's divided. See, victorious Christian soldiers, single-minded, fully committed, full of integrity, full of sincerity. We don't want to mask our problems. We don't want to be living this life saying this on the other side. That is easy prey to the enemy. That's where he wants you. Don't give the devil an advantage like that. Instead, face your sin, confess your sin, begin to walk according to the truth. Walk this way, okay? You'll be a victim of the forces of demonic deception if you try to put on a belt that is not the truth, a belt of human reason, a belt of human philosophy, a belt of rationalizing and making excuses for your sin, a belt of undiscerning thinking, a belt of scripture twisting, a belt that causes you to be blown around here and there at every wind of doctrine and every human cunning and deceitful schemes, rather than the belt of truth and integrity. So that's the first piece that we are to have. Put on that belt, strap it on, tie everything together to it. So not only are you to know this truth, but now you're to live that truth out. That's the second piece. And that takes us to a breastplate, this armament that they wear over their chest. And he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, whether this was a solid brass or maybe some chain metal, something that they wore over to protect basically everything here of their viscera, their heart, their chest cavity, the vital organs. Here's a protective armament as well that they are to wear. And we'll say it this way. The first one, of course, is abide in the truth. This is to guard your heart. Guard your heart. The breastplate of righteousness. Breastplates guard. They protect. They protect the vital organs, either metal or tough leather. Today, we would have the Kevlar vests. How critical are those? To protect you from immediate death. And so we have this armament to be put on as well. The belt's there, and now you have the breastplate. The principle of this is, what are you protecting? Protecting the vital organs. You're protecting the heart. In the biblical sense, the inner man, the heart, is that which is most important, that place of reason, that place of decisions and emotions and intentions and motivations. opinions and judgments, all of that right here needs a bit of protection from the Lord. And it's this breastplate, because this is where he wants to shoot us. He wants us to lose it. He wants us to be in panic attacks, full of anxiety, full of fear, full of doubts, our emotions out of control, our decisions all over the map here, our reasoning that is out of control, our reasoning that has no firm footing and firm standing. And so you can see how the truth is applied to this as well. If the devil can reach the core of your being, if he can influence your decisions, the way you live, if he can affect your guilt, your fear, your anxiety, your depression, your discouragement, all these things to throw at you, to get you there, he's got you. He's knocked you down. So the Lord has provided you with a breastplate. And it's interesting, the specific type of breastplate. It's a breastplate of righteousness. Why that? One critical scheme, I believe, that the devil attacks the Christian and the church is when he goes after the matter of righteousness. And he shoots at that thing right there. It's a matter of righteousness that we are protecting, and we have a protection of this righteousness. What is this? Well, you know how he works. You know his schemes. He wants to demean the work of Christ, doesn't he? What Christ has done on the cross, which according to Romans 3 is a display of God's righteousness, he wants to attack that and destroy it in your mind. He wants you to think less of that. He wants you to think that's insufficient. He wants you to think there's nothing significant about that. It's really more on me to do something of work. He wants to exploit these things. He wants to exploit human sin.